Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today to hear your word, to worship and praise your holy name. We ask that we would be strengthened in our faith and in our love for you by your holy word. Give us the comfort of knowing that with Jesus as our good shepherd, we have nothing to fear, but know that he works everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Awake My Heart with Gladness. We'll sing the verses you find printed in your bulletin on page 2.
Thank you.
Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin, beginning on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, your Son Jesus Christ, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. We pray this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture readings and some of our hymns today follow the theme of today's Sunday, which is Good Shepherd Sunday. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, some of the most familiar words in the entire Bible. We'll read them responsively, Psalm 23. It's on page 4 in your bulletin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. In these verses, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, and he tells us why he is truly the Good Shepherd. He not only gives up his life for the sheep, he also takes it again. He rose from the dead to give us, his sheep, eternal life in that heavenly home, the house of the Lord, forever. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man who is not a shepherd does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. Because he works for money, he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I also have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This is the commission I receive from my Father. Here ends our scripture readings. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want.
The Lord's my shepherd.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, our Good Shepherd and our brother, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Good Shepherd Sunday is taken from John's first letter. We read from chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The words from our two scripture readings this morning, from Psalm 23 and from John chapter 10, are some of the most comforting and endearing words and pictures God paints for us and the entirety of his word, the Bible. Jesus, our good shepherd, and you and I, one of his sheep. The thought of Jesus guiding us, caring for us, protecting us, even giving up his life for us, as our loving shepherd, as we go through this life, all the way through our lifetime, all the way to our heavenly home, that thought, that picture, that illustration from the Bible fills our hearts with comfort and peace. However, as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, we are reminded that God's love for us is not a love that he has as if we're one of his pets or one of his livestock. Let's not take that sheep illustration too far. No, our sermon text for today uses no picture language, uses no symbolism, and tells us what we are and who we are very plainly to him. The words of verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." And that's not just some sort of honorary title. He literally has adopted us. He's made us part of his family, made us his sons and his daughters, and therefore brothers and sisters of his son Jesus. And so we're not just called children of God, as it says in verse 1. John emphasizes in the very next verse, in verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God." How? Well, if you read a few verses after our sermon text, John reminds us that, first of all, it was through Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that he brought to us, that he bought for us when he came to this earth as one of us. Verse 5 of the same chapter of 1 John says, "He was manifested, he was made known, he appeared to take away our sins." That forgiveness and that adoption of ours, the adoption papers, you might say, were signed, sealed, and delivered to us personally when God the Holy Spirit worked faith in our hearts. That miracle of coming to faith, coming alive spiritually to faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. And for many of us, that took place at our baptism. Listen to these words of Paul in his letter to the Galatians. He says, "You are all sons," and the word used there is the word for sons, because he wants us to remember we are the heirs, the inheritors of God through faith in Christ Jesus. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We are sons and daughters of God, heirs of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And at our baptism, we put on Christ. God has adopted us into his family through our Savior and our brother, Jesus Christ. Why is it that we don't always think about or don't always realize what an incredible gift this adoption into God's family is for us. Well, I think one of the reasons John actually points out for us in this text, one of the reasons we don't always realize what a tremendous gift it is to be adopted children of God, is that we can't even fully conceptualize this blessing, this side of heaven. Again, listen to his words in verse 2. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall be like him. What's that going to be like? What's that going to feel like? It is beyond our imagination. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. Another reason that we don't always consider just how wonderful this gift is might be because at times in this life, being a child of God may not seem like that great of a gift at all. In fact, sometimes it maybe doesn't seem like a gift at all. Oftentimes it means that we are called to suffer. At times it means we give up our own desires, our own pleasures for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. Sometimes it means that we are going to be misunderstood, mistreated, maybe even abused by the world, possibly even by people in our own earthly family for the sake of Christ. At times in our lives, we may not feel like we're special. We may not feel like we're loved completely as the children of God. But as John tells us, when he is revealed, that is, when Jesus comes again on the last day, we will know. We will know for certain. He goes on to say again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again, what's that going to be like? To be like Jesus. To see Jesus as he really is. What's it going to be like to have, as the Bible tells us, have perfectly glorified bodies for all eternity? What's it going to be like living in perfect joy, perfect peace, without sin, without death, without sorrow of any kind, forever? John tells us we don't really know yet. He says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. And so we look forward to it, but it's sort of like the biggest, shiniest, most incredible and exciting present we've ever seen just sitting there. It's ours. It's been given to you and me freely. It's got our name on it. It's right there. But it has not yet been unwrapped. It's still wrapped, and God is waiting for the perfect time to give it to us. And so we are like children waiting for Christmas Day, waiting in eager anticipation for the full revelation of that great gift of his heavenly kingdom that Jesus has bought and paid for us. A third reason we don't always remember or realize what an incredible gift it is to be the children of God, to be adopted into God's family, is because we don't always understand, or we don't always remember or realize what our situation was before we were made children of God. We don't always remember or realize that there was nothing we did to deserve this adoption. There was nothing we could do to earn it or deserve it either. At our birth, at our physical birth, we were not born directly into God's family. Because of our sinful natures, we are born lost. The Bible says we're born spiritually dead, and we are headed for eternal death. In fact, the Bible goes even further. It says that by nature, we are actually enemies of God at birth. We didn't love him. And by nature, we didn't even want to be rescued. We want to do what we want to do. We want to do our own thing. But he loved us. He, despite our unlovableness, our hostility towards him by nature, came to us with his very own son, Jesus, saw us in the eternal cages, the eternal prison of our sins, and had compassion on us. Not just as a whole, but individually. He reached down into our lives personally, into our personal history, and adopted you and me into His family. He chose us. We did not choose Him. That is one of the special things about being adopted. You know you are chosen by your Father. He chose you. Listen again to those words from our text in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Those of you who know me know that I come from a very large family. I come from a large family both on my father's side and on my mother's side. And last month when I was able to attend my grandmother's victory service in Wisconsin, I was reminded again of just how large my family is. During the obituary reading, I was reminded that my grandma, and this would be my father's mother, had 27 grandchildren and 72 great-grandchildren. So in the church service that day, there were well over 100 of her family members gathered there. And that wasn't even all of us. We've pretty much filled the church just with family members. And that thought really hit home as we were being ushered out of the service, seeing everyone walk out. And yet at the same time, as we were being ushered out, I thought to myself, this is the smaller side of my family. My mom's side of the family has many more people in that family than my dad's side does. It also reminded me what a blessing it is to have such a large family. What a blessing it is to reconnect with my siblings, my parents, to see some of the cousins and aunts and uncles that I hadn't seen some of them in years, and to see their children all grown up so quickly. That reunion of so many of our family members that day took some of the sadness and some of the sting of losing our grandmother away. And it helped us remember just how blessed we all are to be a part of her family. It is a tremendous blessing to be a part of a family. Our earthly family is a great gift and a great blessing from God. And I hope that we all treasure our families and treasure the gift that God's given to us in them, that we tell them how much we love them and appreciate them. Whether you come from a large family or from a small one. Whether it's large or small, our text reminds us today that we belong to an even greater and much larger family. We belong to God's family. And because of that, we can look forward to the largest and happiest family reunion ever in heaven. One that will truly take away the sadness and the sting of death away completely. Because that reunion will be in a place where there is no death, no sorrow, no pain, and no sin ever again. So while we wait for that blessed reunion, let's remember that because we are God's children through faith in Jesus, that also makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of one family, the spiritual family of God. Let's remember that, and let's reflect on that in the way that we speak and act toward each other. Let's remember that when we think our thoughts, we think toward each other as well. Let's remember that and reflect that in the way that we work together in our family business, the kingdom of God, His church. With Jesus as our shepherd, lovingly guiding us, I'm confident we will. But what a blessing it is that He is even more than our good shepherd. He's our brother. He's our Savior. We are His dear sheep, His little lamb, as we will sing in the last hymn of our service today. But what a blessing it is that we are even more than that. We are Jesus' brothers and sisters. We are
God's children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we, even we, should be called children of God. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
So by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church.
Our service continues with our next hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. Please rise. Prayers of the congregation have been requested for our brother in Christ, Jerry Dimple. Jerry is a member of our East Bay congregation, but has been a member here and has come here a number of times. He had a knee injury several years ago and is finally being able to get a knee surgery done this Thursday. So we're asking the Lord to bless that surgery. It's going to be a difficult and challenging one, and there will be some recovery time in a rehab center near Redwood City in the coming weeks. So we pray for his recovery as well. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are our help and our healer. We come to you today asking for both for our brother Jerry. Dear Lord, you know how long and how difficult this process has been for him and for the many setbacks that he's had to go through in getting this surgery set up. We are thankful and grateful for your direction and your provision in allowing this surgery to finally take place. Be with the surgeon and the staff and give them the skills necessary to perform this difficult procedure. If it is your will, cause the surgery to be successful and give Jerry healing and a smooth rehabilitation process that he may regain his mobility and have a better quality of life as a result. Be with him and keep him safe throughout this process and remind him of your presence and your promises to always be with him and to work this and all things out for his good. We entrust him body and soul into your loving care, knowing that your will, your good will be done. Dear Jesus, you are our risen Savior and our good shepherd. You gave up your life for us, your sheep. It was your great love for us who were lost and straying sheep that moved you to come into this world to live, to die, and rise again, that we might have the life that does not end. Good shepherd, receive our heartfelt thanks and praise and our continual love and devotion for all that you have done and still do to ensure our earthly and eternal welfare. We have become your dear children and your dear sheep by trusting that you are our Savior and our God. Nevertheless, we must confess our sins to you. We still have that sinful self that is stubborn and continually leads us astray. Therefore, we need your presence as our good shepherd to deliver us from our sinful ways, to protect us from our own foolishness, and to forgive our many sins. We need you to take the evils and dangers that beset us and turn them out for our good. We need you to hear and answer our prayers as you have promised. We need to hear and heed the sound of your voice as you speak to us in your word, the Bible. Do not, on account of our sins or our own stubbornness, turn us away from you. Dear shepherd, by your continual presence, comfort and cheer us in every journey that we must make through the dark, shadowy valleys of this life. Satisfy us with the green pastures of your word, and there nourish our faith. Quench our thirst for righteousness with the refreshing streams of salvation. When we are oppressed on every hand by troubles, distresses, temptations, sickness, sin, and heartache, when life seems too difficult to endure, teach us to turn our eyes of faith to you, our good shepherd, and to cast all our cares on you. Answer our anxious cries, for only you know what's truly best for us. Refresh us with your help and guidance, with your protection and your healing. Especially when we walk through the valley of death itself, be with us, dear shepherd and overseer of our souls. Dispel the gloom that surrounds us with the bright promise of salvation, filling us with joy and confidence as one by one we journey from this life to life eternal in heaven. Cause goodness and mercy to follow us the rest of our days. Hear us, merciful Savior and Shepherd, as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Thank you. You may be seated. We close our service today with the hymn, I Am Jesus, Little Lamb. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray you've been blessed with the message you've heard today. A few announcements from the bulletin. Following our service today, the Women's Auxiliary will have their meeting and a luncheon at Barb Gulligood's residence. That will begin shortly after the service today. If you'd like more information or need directions, please speak with Barb Gulligood. This afternoon, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and Bible class at 2. This week, I'll be, Lord willing, leaving for our spring pastoral conference in Spokane, Washington, and returning again, Lord willing, on Thursday evening. If pastoral assistance is needed during that time, please do call my cell phone. Maybe you'll get me out of some paper or something that I... No, I'm just kidding. No. Call if you need to. I will be available during the week while I'm at conference. I actually have the privilege of preaching the Wednesday communion service there, so I'm happy to get that privilege and that blessing for this conference. This Friday, a reminder that our SSLS Runathon for our school, our school's fundraiser, will be held this Friday at 11 a.m. till noon. We have been doing it the last few years in our parking lot and kind of along the church property. The children do running events and other jump roping athletic events in order to raise funds for various items for our school. If you're able to join us for that, please come and cheer the kids on at 11 a.m. If you'd like to give a donation, there's some information about that in the bulletin on page 11. A reminder, next Sunday, there is no Bible class. We just have our worship service at 10 a.m. The Crafting Bee and the Book Club is at 11:15 following the service. And I have our Southern California worship service next Sunday at 6:30. That's the reason for no Bible class next Sunday. So just 10 a.m. worship, and then the Crafting Bee and Book Club to follow. VBS registration is open. There are flyers in the entryway if you'd like to take one to invite someone to our Vacation Bible School for ages 4 through 13. And they can register online on our school's website. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.